Hey, Jeff here. If you like the podcast, you might dig this. Dan Hodgins is going to join Lisa Murphy and I for 3 gigs in 2018. We're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Madison, Wisconsin. We're calling it the Talking Play Tour because that's what we're going to be doing, talk and play. You can learn more at playvolutionhq.com/events. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff coming to you pondside with another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast in...
A pondcast.
Oh.
I'll be here all week.
Welcome to another pondcast. With me by the pond, Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Natasha Johnson.
Aloha.
Before we grow into our topic, I want to talk about a little fun thing that's going on. Thanks to our buddies at Inspired EC over there in the Australia, Tasha and I have made 3 trips over there now so far. We're going to go back in 2018 for about 3 months, and for about 10 days of that...
Whatever.
10 days of that 3 months, Lisa fucking Murphy is going to join us.
I am so excited. I need a nap already.
I know we got Australian listeners, and so if you're interested in that information, you're going to have to get a hold of Inspired EC. We'll save it. We'll share it on our sites when we get all the information up and rolling. But what we're going to be doing over there is we're going to do the first Australian Uncon.
Woo!
So that'll be 3 days. I believe we're going to be doing that up in the Newcastle area,
awesome.
And then we're gonna do a couple other gigs together, which is we haven't figured out the topics yet, but I think it's mostly going to be something along the line of Lisa and Jeff show up and talk about play together. So I can't wait.
As Jeff in person.
And on a previous episode, we talked about why do we make things more complicated. Let me tell you, I'm pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I can say this honestly. You might giggle, but it's honestly. I mean, I'm not a control freak. However,
I like things organized and detailed.
Right.
So what Lisa just said is, I'm not a control freak. However, I'm a control freak.
I'm not a control freak. I am pushing myself out of my comfort zone by the fact that nobody knows where we're going.
And I knew this when I heard, we'd like to bring Lisa over. I thought, oh shit.
She's going to want to know dates. I'm like,
Lisa.
All I have on my green sheet for the file for this gig is you're going with Jeff and Tasha and you're flying into Sydney. And until further notice,
so
I'm comfortable
with
that.
What the fuck don't you
awesome.
Know? You're going to Australia.
But I'm like, should I bring my microphone? Do I need to bring any gear? Do I know where am I going? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just along for the ride. No, but I'm telling you, this is good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not complaining at
all. But
I had to kind of do an adjustment on myself.
Yeah. And I dig that we got a relationship that you're trusting enough to let that happen.
Because I am.
When it all goes to hell. No, it'll be Nicole and Tasha's fault. So we'll blame it on them.
Yeah.
No, everything's going to be great. It's going to be fun. Listeners, stay tuned for this episode coming up in the future. Tasha and I are going to toss Australian terminology at Lisa and see if she knows what things mean.
And so what happens if I have to get a 65% or I don't get to
Well,
go?
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be.
If
you don't pass, you're going to have to
do extra credit
because you want to be able to understand the Australia talk. So there's that coming up. So let's hop into our real topic for this episode. That was just a little bit of foreplay. What's the topic?
Creating true early childhood experiences, even amongst all the rules and the regs.
So listen to the previous episode, right? About not making things more complicated than they have to be.
Well,
or does it got to be? We got to make it more complicated than that.
To me, what often complicates this, and I've talked about this before, is Is it really a rule and a reg? So that's your first layer of homework, is actually to read the rules and the regs to make sure that you have not made it more complicated in your head with your perceptions of what is or is not allowed.
So are you saying that sometimes people say they can't do a thing, or they got to do a thing a particular way because of a
reg,
misunderstanding or inaccuracy in understanding or lack of understanding of what the rules really are?
Or someone 100% else's interpretation.
Yes, 100% yes.
Okay, so all people working in early learning classrooms should read the rules and regulations governing care in
are.
Their location.
Yes. Anything that you are required to be aligned with, whether it's licensing regs, if it's your Eckers book, what class, whatever tools are being used, I will tell you straight up, you have a responsibility to know what is in them.
So that's step one.
And that's a big step. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, some of the state regs are, you know, it's not like four pages. I mean, and...
I think it's something that the person who is doing the hiring should require of their employees to read.
I agree.
And people, if you need that information, if you go to Playvolution HQ and do a little bit of clicking around, I don't have the link in the exact extension in my head, but we've created, I've got a searchable database on there. If you are working in early learning in any of the U.S. states, or I think Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands are on there too, or Australia, or any place in the Canada, you can go on there and search for the regulations that are going on in your state, and you can click on them and you can read them. So everything. So if you want to spy, I mean, you got yours memorized. You want to spy on other places? You can go search and do
and
it
I'm
there
not,
too.
And I'm not bragging or patting myself on the back.
Lisa reads them all.
I did.
I remember you doing that.
I killed 1,000 trees because, of course, I had to print it out and read it on paper and highlight them. And the reason that I did it was because I started to get feedback from people at gigs in some states, and they're like, "No, it's in the regs," and I'm like, "That can't be true." Mm-hmm. You know, like that's I. So
Can
I.
Can you
felt,
cite it for me, please?
Exactly. So I took it upon myself, and I read all of them. Now I understand.
And it was you couldn't stop because it was so enthralling and so exciting to read, wasn't it?
On some levels,
you're such a fucking nerd.
It was.
No, that stuff is written like a dozen dyslexic monkeys were put at typewriters and clicked it out, and then what they created was handed to a bunch of maniacal attorneys, and then they churned out an edit, and then they published that. That's the way that stuff is written. It's not written to be read or understood by humans.
Well, I agree with that.
Which
so I can understand.
But Lisa likes that stuff.
I do. And I can understand why there's some hesitancy
to read it because this isn't an easy task.
I'm not saying it's an easy task. I'm not saying it's
not
a fun
reading for
task.
An evening.
It's an important task.
It's an important task. Yes. And where I, you know, I'm a very patient person, but where I can lose patience is when people don't, where there isn't, well, what? Let's use your phrase. They just don't have any fucks to give about that particular thing, but then don't mind whining or bitching or moaning about XYZ or ABC when really if they just spent 2 hours plowing through this, they would have some grounds or some, broadening their knowledge base or what, you know, whatever the thing might be. But I mean, it helps you debunk so many myths or perceptions by having just that much more knowledge about what you bring to the table.
Okay, so in all that regulation reading, how much of the stuff we advocate for in this podcast, in our last 350-some episodes, how much of that stuff is not allowed in, I mean, name the places that you can't do the things we talk about, like trusting kids as learners and supporting rough and tumble play.
The only thing that lately has changed... Sorry, I just heard a bunch of chickens, and I thought
actual
that was pretty
chickens.
Awesome. Actual live chickens. Is the outdoor regs. The outdoor yard is now, I have started to notice, I'm using too many words, I'm using more words than I need to. When I now do my Let's Go Outside slideshow presentation, I have to actually go back and revisit that because some of the outdoor rules don't allow that. The fall zone nonsense. Oh. Mm-hmm. So, like, the spools, they're like, we can't have the spools. I'm like, why can't you have a spool? They're like, there's got to be anything that a kid can fall off of has to. So, again, have I read that in their reg? No, because I haven't read them in a while. But if that's honestly a rule, that right now is probably the only thing that I think we talk about that a lot of states will start pushing back against.
Yeah, and even those
some
things.
Some of the larger loose parts.
And even some of those things, I've from my experience with it, had somebody that was having a problem with that. And then when they went back and actually read the reg said stationary.
Yes.
And so that meant, and then you got to get into the definition of stationary with, I mean, and so if it's put there in cement, then you got to have the fall zone. But if it's a spool and you can move it
around,
then you're good to go.
And that's why
you need to read the regs. Mm-hmm. And then other stuff, sometimes those things that you're being quoted aren't the actual regulations. Those are somebody's recommendations or interpretations. And so not only do you need to know what's in the regs so that you know what's in the regs, but you could filter out the bullshit that way too.
Well, I did a gig in Indianapolis back in February, and this actually came up that somebody said we're not allowed to go outside if it's colder than 40 degrees. And there was somebody in the audience who actually said, hold on, what the reg actually says is that if it's warmer than 40, you have to go out. But it does not. But the
words just got.
But the mm-hmm. perception mm-hmm. was that there was this implied you can't go. But nowhere in the regs did it say that. So we had this really awesome kind of real time recalibration of a lot of people in the audience who were under the impression that if it was colder than 40, they're not allowed to go out. And the girl was like, "Nope, it's the complete opposite."
Yep, I love it when this stuff happens real time. Yes. So not only we need to read them, we need to understand them because there's a lot of nuance in there. And so that means not only reading them, but asking questions.
And having your tribe that you can banter with about mm-hmm. this. Hey, I'm not, and being okay, I think, with even admitting, hey, I'm not quite sure what this language means.
Yeah.
You know, talk with me about this. You know, and I'm not saying start a study group with your regs, but you know what? How awesome.
That would be cool. I was just thinking
that would be. Then you have all of the team, everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think the other, a neat byproduct of that is that then we get rid of the fear when licensing shows up.
Yeah.
Like, when my licensor would show up and the girls would go absolutely batshit nervous crazy, I'm like, we are not doing anything that is in violation. Why do they have such power?
Yeah. Yeah, we make things more complicated. We build in fear and aggravation and
why are we assuming that we're doing something wrong?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, because those people are generally tasked with going out and finding things that are wrong.
What you're doing wrong.
They don't show up and say, hey, I really love the way you got your water play set up.
They come in and say, that's a pool. You're in violation.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, again, they don't come in.
What if they came in with a different perspective?
Oh, that would be wonderful if licensure came in with an understanding
of what developmentally appropriate practice is.
Yeah. or having read the regulations. I mean, that would be a good thing. Okay, so moving beyond the regulations for supporting real play, the kind of stuff we advocate for, and with all these roadblocks out there, another one of the roadblocks is again, and we've talked about this before, administrators and managers that have differing conflicts or expectations, because sometimes you get a level of bullshit that you got to deal with, not just from the state or province, but from that nearer level, that the people that are down the hall from you, and maybe it's the person that signs your paycheck, which mm-hmm. adds more complication. How do we deal with issues coming up with those people that make it hard for us to support real play?
Well, to me, this is one of those issues that if we hired better. Mm-hmm. And if we interviewed better, we would kind of clear this out even before. Like, so if in fact I spelled out, this is the program, this is what we do here, this is what it looks like, it's always going to look like this, you know, is there a fit here? This way, if pretty much somebody out the get-go says you're not going to be allowed to do this, we only go outside if it's over 50 degrees, and we only do art on Monday, if you know you bring more than that to the table, you should take it upon yourself to go interview someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So nipping some of this in the bud by taking that kind of self-initiative.
Yeah. If you're working in a place that you can't do the things you know to be developmentally appropriate and right for children, you got to get your ass into a different program.
You do.
I mean,
and if
because you're not going to, we talked about it before, you're not going to change that program from the inside.
Now, what I will say to that is if they lay their cards on the table and you choose to accept that position, you have no business bitching and whining on the back end because they told you clearly. Now, if in fact you were sold a different bill of goods during the interview and now all of a sudden things are changing or you're like, whoa, then I think there's room for, hey, this is kind of different than what I was told in the beginning, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you proceed from there. But what one of the things I still find that I have to really stress on the road is that with perhaps this exception of the yard and the stationery, which I'm putting that in my tool belt for next time, nothing we talk about goes against any licensing reg that I have read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know. It clearly must be how the regs are being interpreted in a lot of places as opposed to how they're actually written.
Yeah, and I mean, that goes back to our last episode about making things complicated. There are incredible agencies out there offering support to people that are doing direct care. I mean, there are some, I've met the U.S., Canada, Australia, I've met wonderful people. That said, there are some people that are horrid at that job, and there are some agencies that go about doing that job in such a way that their prime concern is to be the biggest agency they can with the most employees they can and the most power they can, and that bullshit gets in the way of early learning. Well, there goes speaking gigs for Jeff in about fuck them. I don't want to work with them anyway. I want to work with the good people.
Well, I also think that it's important to acknowledge that sometimes the people in those decision-making capacities in those roles, they're not early childhood people.
Yeah.
So on some sense, it's on us to do some of that education. You know, that one of the things I started saying in the last couple weeks at gigs, because I always thought it, but I never really articulated it, was make sure that what you think you heard was actually what's said. Like, check in on that. You know, if somebody walks in, your principal, your boss, your director, and says to you, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Maybe that's just an honest question. But we hear you're not allowed to do that anymore versus, so we make it more complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what the person said.
Okay, we got to role play that.
Okay.
Or what about their tone, too, that you might have perceived in their voice when they did it?
Who's walking into the room?
I'll walk into the room.
What am I doing?
What's going on? I don't know. The kids are building. I love blocks.
We're building tall towers.
We're building tall towers. Okay. And I walk in. Hello.
Oh, hey, Miss Lisa, how you doing?
Oh, my God. What is going on over there in the block area?
Oh, the dudes and dudettes decided they were going to try to build a tower up to touch the ceiling.
Oh, my God. That is a really... They're standing on a chair.
Oh, I know. And we've got... Look over there. They got the chair on the table over on the other side of the room.
Oh, my God.
They had to spread it out. We needed multiple towers.
Whoa, what... What's happening here?
We're building towers to touch the ceiling. What do you need to know that I'm not telling you in that sentence?
I don't think this is something that should be happening in this environment.
Pray tell, why?
Because somebody could fall down.
Well, have you seen these children? They're all 4 and 5 year olds. They fall down at the painting easel standing still. So yeah, absolutely, somebody could fall down.
Well, I see that kid is like standing. They're reaching up. Really? Oh, that just looks so unstable to me.
Why? What looks unstable? The building? No, they, man, these kids, oh, they're bitching awesome at building block towers. What's unstable?
But you know, this is going to fall on me. I mean, if somebody gets hurt in here, I'm the one ultimately responsible. I don't know if we should be doing this in here.
What do you mean by hurt? Do you mean gets a bump?
I mean, like, what if that block tower falls on that kid that's sitting on the carpet next to it?
He'll get hit with a couple blocks, and then he'll pick up the blocks and probably won't sit there next time.
Okay, I think this is done.
And scene.
You know what I was thinking of while we were doing that?
That's my new character.
it's like some surfer dude. John Cusack. No, is an early childhood educator. Who was in the United Club, actually, incidentally, yesterday.
Oh, he's so dreamy. I don't know. Is he dreamy?
No, not really. Okay.
Some people might.
You know what I was thinking about was at when we were did the Minnesota gig with Dan, mm-hmm. 50 Shades. And we were talking about how we need to get better at just stating what the children are doing, right? So mm-hmm. just pointing that out. What do you see happening here? Well, I'm noticing they're stacking, they're building, they're jumping up, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. So just labeling, I keep like eating the microphone today. Just stating what you see the children doing without assuming that we need to justify, rationalize, or attach that learning language to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
That's what jumped in my head.
Yeah, just make a statement.
Making a statement.
Yep.
Well, and I think... I think the dynamic I've been playing with it at workshops is if the person comes, the naysayer, the wolf comes in and is like, oh my gosh, what's happening here? For the provider to start getting more comfortable at asking, what are you noticing here? What are you seeing happening? And then getting that person to change their lens a little bit instead of just having an emotional response to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some language to this. Well, I see that they are standing on their tiptoes and that they're standing on chairs and that they're reaching up high or whatever language that might look like. And then as the provider, as the teacher, being able to then kind of decide if you need to add that language, the quote-unquote learning language, mm-hmm. to what you're seeing. Well, when they are standing up and reaching, they are... you know, increasing, beginning, and developing, whatever, or whatnot. But getting the naysayer to initially articulate what they're actually seeing instead of us assuming.
Yep.
that they're telling us that that should never happen again. Because the naysayer might, on their own, through that little banter, realize...
They might work through it themselves.
They might work through it themselves.
So, well, yeah, and they might be seeing something else and that you're seeing, and then you put other ideas into their head, and so it's just... complicated
like,
the situation
like
more.
Real-time reframing of what is actually happening.
So we in those situations, we need to become less defensive and more appropriate defenders of our practice. Because when we turn on the defensive stance right away, that puts up a wall between us and whoever that is.
Exactly. And I think that happens because we react to the statement instead of pausing for a minute.
Yeah, and then when we appropriately defend what's going on, and it might be explaining, okay, here's what the learning that's going on, and it might be just saying, yeah, looks good. Questions?
Yeah.
And so being able to appropriately defend without getting defensive is kind of the stance to take in those situations if you're going to actually move things forward.
Yes.
Because it's easy to have the hair on your neck stand up, and just go into that defensive stance, but that doesn't move the needle for anybody.
And nor is it assisting the naysayer in a sense in broadening their understanding of, you know, what 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-olds bring to the table.
Absolutely,
especially if their training has been with olders, you know, they don't.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So what else do we need to do to get into to support this kind of play when we have all these other things to deal with?
I think it's on us to know what being developmentally appropriate looks like.
So we need to know the regs, we need to know our shit.
Yeah. Right? Which doesn't mean you always have to defend it, but if you don't even know what best practice looks like, you know,
you don't always have to be spewing it out.
No.
Grandbaby Rowan, the other day, she's telling me how smart she was again.
Again.
And see, that's the part of it. I'm getting tired of hearing it because she doesn't hear you're so smart for me. I don't know
where
but I told her, you know, you can be smart without having people without talking about it all the time.
Yes.
And in fact, some smart people who talk about how smart they are all the time,
it's kind of
off-putting. I think we in this profession, I think we kind of do that too, is we want everybody to know what we know, and you don't always have to throw that stuff out there.
Yeah, and that's what I said on a previous episode, that I want to know that the people working in this program can link that learning language to what's happening in the classroom. But you don't need to lead with it. But I want you to be able to go there. if the situation requires
it. How about this? We want people to be deep pools of knowledge about their profession, right? Mm-hmm. But instead of like ornamental fountains that are always spewing up, we want them to be drinking fountains. You push the button.
Ooh.
You get that when you get the information when it's needed. You're not just throwing it out there all the time.
Did you just make that up?
I did.
Most excellent visual there.
Yeah. Huh? Wow. Not going to remember it.
I'm going to write it down.
It's you recorded it.
Yeah,
so it's going to be recorded for posterity.
Come on.
No, it's going to be recorded for prostates. Every time I have a prostate exam, I'm going to listen to this.
Drinking fountain versus
ornamental fountains.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go, people. That's what you get for going to Amazon and supporting the show. You get little bits of wisdom like that.
So flippant. I love that.
I do too.
Let's just stop there.
Let's stop for a minute.
Oh, I got another one I want to throw
you
out there.
Another one.
No, not but another oh. another thing. I think when we're dealing with this kind of stuff, dealing with all the regs and the paperwork and trying to be really flippant, another thing we need to pay attention to is allies.
Going
it alone can get frustrating and you can feel. I mean.
This is what happens
feeling
when you
isolated.
Have 15 programs under one roof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you end up feeling like you're the only one doing it because somewhere along the way we didn't make sure that everybody's on the same page philosophically.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so much easier when you've got an ally. Batman can go out and Batman around Dark Knighting all over the place. But you know when Batman really came into his own and really kicked up his game?
When he got Robin.
When Robin and Batgirl showed up. Because he had those allies to help. Because then I'm not really a comic book nerd, so I don't know any really Batman villains.
That's all you got.
But when that really bad one came to town, boy, Batman sure was happy. He had
he had
those other combo.
So you're saying find your tribe?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
find your tribe.
Yeah,
and they might not be down the hall, but they might be online.
Yeah,
you know, they might be some. You know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we get to be a little bit of your tribe if you need us for that kind of stuff. But have people you can bounce ideas off and questions and it just makes it a little bit easier to have people that are tuned in and a little bit on the same wavelength when you're dealing with this stuff.
Well, and also I think they can help recalibrate us when we are guilty of overthinking stuff. Like the cape story that I tell, where the woman, we made the t-shirt capes and she emailed me and she's like, we're not allowed to use the capes because the kids are tripping on them. You know, and I'm like...
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm like, what am I missing? So I typed back, cut them, you know, like, and hesitantly hit return because I'm like,
And she needed.
She
or?
Emailed back right away, and all she wrote was, oh. And when I tell that story at the gigs, I always say I'm not throwing her under the bus. I'm reminding everybody in the room mm-hmm. that we all overthink things sometimes, and we miss the forest for the trees, which is why you need to have people around you who can kind of smack you back into place every now and again.
And that goes back to making things more complicated. You're trying to figure out, well, how do we get the cape? Oh.
Cut them.
Makes them less complicated. And so having an ally or two that can or 10 that can tell you when you need to cut your capes is a valuable tool. It's about time to wrap this one up. We've had a lot of fun doing this one. Mm-hmm. I think I got one more I want to throw at you though. Is it ever appropriate to go into special operations mode?
Meaning,
you know, you want to do something, but the director's not really hep to it. And
or just do it anyway.
You
close
do
the
it,
door.
Yeah, you do it anyway. You
got to come back to what is the initial reason why you're being told not to do it? Are you now engaging in that activity? Let's just pretend it's an activity. Are you now doing it just to be a defiant little snot? Or is it really something that needs to happen in this classroom? You know, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And who is it for?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think those three questions need to answer. Is anybody really in harm's way? Or does somebody just not like it? If somebody just doesn't like it, I'm probably more inclined to perhaps close the door and just do it. But again, you got to check in with yourself.
Well, yeah.
You know, if now you're just doing it to give, you know, an old F you,
that's where the conversations need to happen and sit down with the director and say, hey, I mean, the kids are really interested in doing this. I want to know.
Talk me through why we're shutting it down.
So I can talk to the kids about it and then we can plan a way to have it happen or not do it.
I think you also need to pay a little bit attention to self-preservation here, too, because if it's something that's going to get your ass fired, you got
to
decide.
Unless
if
you're looking to get fired.
Well, exactly. You got to run the risk benefit assessment there, whether you work for it. Another thing is professional liability, because if the program's stance is we don't do this thing, and then you let kids do that thing, and something bad does happen, whether you're at fault or not, and then, for example, the insurance company doesn't pay out. That puts it, I mean...
But this, to me, goes back on what I said a few minutes ago, which is that if you have interviewed well, whether you're on one side or the other, if you know you're bringing stuff to the table that, like, this is how I teach, like, this is something that, like, this is a non-compromisable, and they straight up tell you that's not allowed there, and you take the job anyway and try and do it, I think that's on you,
that's
man.
On, yeah. That's on.
That was laid on, whether I agree with it or not, you were, that was full disclosed cards on the table.
Yeah.
And now you're going against the grain on that.
And I agree. I guess my thing is, if you're going to do it, you got to know you own it.
Yeah.
Whatever the consequences are, good and or bad.
Like, I used to work at Disneyland, and like the everybody, like 100 years ago, and like they laid it on the table what you're allowed and not allowed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so we all knew. You knew the rules.
Yeah.
You're either going to take the job or not. And so didn't everybody's all bitching and moaning and whining about, I'm not allowed to be there. I'm like, you knew this when you got hired.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not.
Granted, there's
like
those people out there that just need to bitch and moan.
About
anyway,
exactly.
Yeah, but exactly. Still, it's on you.
Well, I think we covered that pretty good, and we went over half an hour with this one.
Holy
look at us.
Lucas.
Look at us talking.
Wow.
Hey, people. Thanks.
Just like
for,
the old days.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Support the show. Come see us. Come to the websites. Do that kind of stuff. Share the show. All that kind of stuff we talk about. We appreciate it. We appreciate you tuning in. And also, hey, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see some more pictures of people listening to the podcast. I want to see where you are and what you're doing.
Hashtag it.
How do you listen? Yeah, post it. Well, just post them to Ooey Gooey page or the Explorations page on Facebook or you know how to get them to us. You know how to use the internet. You can download a podcast for God's sake.
And if you don't, you have somebody who
does.
Ask the youngest person on your staff.
Yeah, ask a 5-year-old. Hey, thanks for listening. Back soon with another episode. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh. Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks.